Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Not too long ago on Facebook, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a post and everybody was asked what their favorite Christmas movie was. I said Lord of the Rings. It's good. Good movie. Good Christmas movie. But one of the other answers is a clip that I want to show today from that, if we could show that video.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
That aired on December 9th, 1965. I couldn't believe that, 1965. The producer at the time, when they were talking about doing this, was concerned that that scene would be controversial. The network was also worried. Many people were anxious about having that scene in that movie. They didn't think it would turn out well, but Charles Schulz insisted that it would be in there, that the true meaning of Christmas would be captured in that story. Schulz had a deep faith. And he asked the producer when they were talking about it, he said, if we don't do it, who will? The result was that half the Americans that were watching TV that night turned into that. 15 million people. It's been shown for the last 60 years every year. Hundreds of millions of people have watched that and heard about the true meaning of Christmas. Right? Yeah. Today, Christmas has become wrapped in many things that are not the things that point to Jesus, right? We seem to be moving further away from what Christmas is really about. John 1:14, the word Jesus became flesh, the only begotten Son of God, was wrapped in flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's what Christmas is about. Right, that's what we remember this year. I want to look at three times that Jesus was wrapped that are recorded in the Word of God, and I'm sure you can think of two right away. Two times that Jesus was wrapped. The third one's a little bit more obscure, but you'll know it. The first comes from the story that we just heard. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2. Would you just stand in honor of God's Word? Luke 2, beginning at verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. For who? For all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, would you just speak through it to us today? Would you help us to hear nothing but you? Holy Spirit, you have your right of way. Speak to our hearts, soften our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears. Help us not to be crusty. Help us not to be closed, Lord. Let us draw near to you as you draw near to us. Father, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. It's interesting that the account says there at the end, did you catch that? This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. That doesn't seem like a sign to me. I don't know about you. A sign to me would be he would have some kind of special birthmark on him, maybe a cross on him, or he would be glowing or something, maybe blonde hair in this Jewish culture. That would be kind of a sign that would make him stand out. But to be wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger seems very common at this time. Maybe the manger thing a little bit different, right? But you got to do what you got to do. Why would this be a sign? Why would this be an indicator to these shepherds? Last week we looked at these guys, right? These guys were out in the field around Bethlehem. These shepherds were watching very special sheep. These sheep were no ordinary ones. These were the flocks of the sacrificial lambs. And we know that because of its proximity to Jerusalem. This is where David was. This is where David tended flocks, right? These sheep would be sacrificed. The timing is significant, too. You have to keep this in mind because this would be the time of the year when baby sheep would be being born, would be birthed. Some of these sheep would be born to die. Do you get that? Die at the Passover feast. There was one thing that was crucial. There was one thing that was critical about them. These sheep had to be perfect. They would scour the ones that were born and look for the ones that were without blemish, without spot. For centuries, they had taken these lambs to the temple where they would be closely examined, closely scrutinized by the priests. They would look at every inch of them and try to find some imperfection, find something wrong, and if they found something, those lambs would not be worthy, right? One would be put on display for all the people coming to the temple to see, to look at, to examine, to make sure that that one lamb was perfect. And here's what you need to know. Here's why Jesus being born and wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger would be a sign to these shepherds. You see, these baby lambs were born. And tradition tells us that the ones that had no spots or blemishes would be wrapped in cloths. Wrapped in cloths to protect them from getting hurt, from getting a mark, from getting a blemish. These lambs would be brought into a cave, wrapped up, so that they would be protected from not getting stepped on, from not getting hurt, from not getting that blemish, right? So that they could be an acceptable sacrifice. So great care was taken to prevent that. I don't know if you know, but Jesus was born in a cave. We tend to think of some kind of stable that he was born in, but actually we know he was born in a cave. And 155, Justin Martyr wrote this, but when the child was born in Bethlehem, since Joseph could not find a lodging in that village, he took up his quarter in a certain cave near the village. And while they were there, Mary brought forth the Christ and placed him in a manger. Origen of Alexandria in 248 said this, in regards to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, if anyone, after studying Micah's prophecy and the history recorded in the sacred writings by the disciples of Jesus, if needing to have any additional sources of evidence, let him be aware that the scriptures are confirmed and that the gospel involving his birth, for there can be seen the cave located in Bethlehem where he was born, and the manger where he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. This site is talked about with great interest in all of the surrounding countries. Even among the enemies, our faith, it is being said that in this cave, Jesus was born, the one who is worshipped and revered by the Christians. Even the enemies of Christianity recognized this. This cave was well known where Jesus was wrapped and placed in
a manger, wrapped in cloths, just like those sacrificial lambs. This would have been the perfect sign to those shepherds who had done this very thing. The perfect sign to point to the one that the angel told them about. Could you imagine seeing this baby for them in a cave? Just like the lambs would have been brought into, wrapped in these cloths, placed in a manger. Could you imagine the joy in them finding him, them seeing him? This theme can of Jesus being compared to a lamb is throughout the whole entire Bible. It's common in Scripture, right? John the Baptist, when he meets Jesus, he says this, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's how he describes him, right? Isaiah prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before this. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one that was born, the one that we celebrate now, was the sacrificial lamb. 1 Corinthians 4, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. 1 Peter 1, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Revelation 5, John writes, in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd." Jesus put on flesh, was born to die, born to atone for each and every one of our sins. Why does that matter? If I was to pay for your sins, somebody would have to pay for my sins, because I've got my own sins that need taken care of, right? On top of that, our sins are against a holy God. So the only sacrifice that makes sense, that the only sacrifice that could possibly pay for the sins of the world, for the sins of all mankind, would have to be perfect, would have to be without spot or blemish, right? And come from God. God put on flesh to be a representative for us. He lived a sinless life and died in our place, the exact representation of us. So Jesus was able to die in all of our places because he was God. It's the only logical sacrifice that could work. Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." This is the first wrapping that we see. Jesus was wrapped as a sacrifice, right? A sacrifice for you and me, a sacrifice for the sins of the world. The second wrapping of Jesus is a little bit less obvious. John 13, beginning at verse 4. "So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.'" Here, Jesus was wrapped as a servant, right? He gives us all an amazing example to follow, right? He lived a life just like you and I, but it was void of all entitlement, all the entitlement that he deserved, right? Void of being concerned about his own rights, about what was due him. Mark 10:45 says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Do you understand that? The only begotten Son of God came to serve and give his life as a ransom. Incredible. This week in our Bible study on Wednesday night, we looked at a familiar passage. It's one of my favorites, Philippians 2. This describes what Christ did for us. Philippians 2, verse 6, who being in the very nature God, right, he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I don't know about you, but I think we all attempt to wrap ourselves in different things. Jobs, or those titles, right? This is who I am. I'm this. Spouses, maybe sports, maybe cars. People are known for their cars, right? A house, maybe a house on the lake, a degree. We wrap ourselves in anything that we can find that we think will give us purpose, that will give us significance. But when we understand the gift that we've received from God, those labels, those things that we wrap ourselves with, we quickly throw to the ground. They drop off. We then begin to think, God, how can I leverage those things that you have entrusted me to point to you, right? How can I leverage that talent that you have given me to play to the sport in a way that points to you? How can I leverage this job that you've enabled me to have to serve others and point to you? If you go back to the Peanuts story, Linus is known for this one possession that he has. Do you remember what that is? Blanket, right? It's one thing. The one thing that's special about him, the one thing he cares about, the one thing he will not let go of for anything, right? It's everything to him. There's one time, though, that he willingly lays it down. Do you remember that time? He uses it to hold up the Christmas tree. Don't miss that, right? Don't miss that he takes the most important thing to him. It's everything to him, his identity, and he uses it to serve others, to point to Christmas. I think this is what happens when we truly get the magnitude of the gift that's been given to us. We're willing to lay things down that were very important to us because there's something more important. We're willing to lay those things down in an attempt and a hope to serve others like our Lord and Savior did and to point others to him, right? To the one who gave his life for us. What's the most important thing to you? What would you not want to let go of? What do you want to hold on to so tightly? Where do you find your identity? Right? Would you be willing to leverage it? Would you be willing to use it for his glory? Maybe you're wondering, how could I do that? That's the start of an amazing prayer. Pray that. Seek his will for that, right? Lord, you have entrusted this ability, this gift to me. How can I use it for you? When you get what Christ has given you, you see things differently. You begin to let go of things that what you once gripped so tightly. Third time Jesus was wrapped. This is one that I'm sure you knew. John 19:40. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the rabbi, take Jesus' body and they wrap it, right? And we see that he did come to be a sacrifice. What his birth foretold, right? How he was wrapped then, he would find fulfillment in being wrapped again. He lived as a servant. He died to save us. And that's my final point. Jesus was wrapped as a savior. I was watching one of my favorite pastors, and he was talking about this time that they had this gift exchange. It was a $25 limit on the gift exchange. And he's getting ready to go to the party, and all of a sudden he realized, oh, I forgot my gift. So he scours his house looking for something that's new, right? Something that he hasn't opened, something that he could bring to this party. And the only thing he could find was one of those solo stoves he had purchased. Do you know what those are? Those smokeless fire? Oh, they're a couple $100s. They're pretty nice. They're pretty new and fancy. He had no other choice, though, and so he brought it. So he went to the exchange. He put that forward, and they were taking their turns opening presents, and this person grabbed that gift and opened it up and just kind of looked at it and then put it back down. Somebody said, What'd you get? What is it? And this person was like, oh, it's just some kind of camping stove there. His son was with him. And he looked over to his dad and he said, do you think this is how God feels? And he's like, what do you mean, son? He said, do you think God is like, man, if they only knew the gift I gave them, if they only understood. My prayer is that this Christmas, we truly realize the gift that has been given to us. And we live our lives in response to that. I don't know where you're at today. I asked the teens this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being 100% certain, 1 being completely uncertain, if you died today, would you spend eternity with God? 1 to 10, where are you at with that? Just answer that in your own head. 1 to 10, where are you? I've heard a lot of people answer this with fives, sixes, sevens. I've heard some twos, six, seven. Yeah. I've heard some low numbers, right? A lot of people would answer that with something that they've wrapped themselves in, if you know what I mean. Well, I'm a good person. I help people, right? So I am, so I'm going to give myself this number, right? If they stood before God, if you stood before God and he asked you, why should I let you in? Why should I allow you to enter into my presence, right? That's what a lot of people would say. Hey, I'm a good person. I'm a good person compared to that person, right? The truth is, though, that there is nothing good about us. That's what the Word of God says. There's no one good, not one, right? There's nothing from us that we can wrap ourselves in to become perfect. And that's what it takes to spend eternity with God. Maybe some of you would answer that question if God were to ask you, well, I'm saved, right? And my question to you would be, are you 70% saved? Are you 7 out of 10 saved? Are you 5 out of 10 saved? How many of your sins did Jesus die for? I asked the teens that. They said all of them. Then why aren't you 10 out of 10? What percentage of your sins did Jesus' sacrifice atone for? Hopefully we'd all say all of them. Well, if that's true, right, then your answer should be a 10. I want you to understand this if you're a believer, because it changes how you live. You go from trying to earn something to receiving something and living in response to that thing, right? If you were drowning and you cried out, save me, and somebody came in a boat and pulled you into that boat, right? You wouldn't be 50% saved. You wouldn't be 30% saved. You wouldn't be 90% saved. You'd be 100% saved. Unless you jumped out of that boat and said, forget you, I don't want you to save me, right? I don't want to be rescued by you. You jump back in the water, sure. But if you're in that boat, you're in the boat. You're saved. Live from that. Celebrate that with the birth that brought that to us, right? I say this because when you really get this, it just sets you free to live that life of gratitude. When you realize that you didn't save you, that you don't have anything that can save you, right? That you aren't a good person, and instead wrap yourself in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and what he did and what he accomplished, right? And how God raised him from the dead. Man, when you wrap yourself in that, you can have a peace like no other peace. I spent too much time sitting out there just feeling good and feeling bad, just being on this emotional roller coaster based on how I was doing. But now everything is based on Christ for me, right? 10 out of 10. I know that the only hope I have to get into heaven is what he did. There is nothing good in me, right? So I'm going to put all my faith and trust in him, right? I want that for each and every one of you. I don't want you to be struggling. I don't want you to have to think you have to earn it, because you never will. You live in response to it, though. You pick up your cross and you follow him every day because you are so grateful that for some reason the God of the universe put on flesh and died for me, right? That's a motivation to live for him. That's the only motivation that you need. You are a child of God. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, and nothing can take that away. Nothing can change that. Live for that. Can I tell some of you are drowning right now, and you're trying to save yourself, trying to wrap yourself in something to try and find significance, right? It's the American thing to do. Pull yourself up. Make a way yourself. Here's the thing that you need to know. You'll never be able to do that. You have nothing to offer but filthy rags. Nothing to pay for your sins because you've sinned against a perfect and holy God. And only a perfect and holy God-sized sacrifice can save you. But there's good news. The only begotten Son of God came to this earth to pay for your sins. Every one of them. And if you will only believe that, if you will only put your faith in that, if you will only put every ounce of trust you have in that, right, wrap yourself in that, you can be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace, not your works, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith," right, through belief, through trust, through reliance. And this is not from yourselves. It's not from you. It's not according to you. It is the gift of God. Amen? Amen. Not by works, so that no one can boast. My friends, the gift has been offered. The gift is before you. If you haven't unwrapped it, will you? Or will you reject it? You can choose, right? I'll love you either way. You might not be ready to unwrap that gift. You might still have some questions. But I want to give you a chance to unwrap it. The Lord's speaking to you today. If you realize that you're drowning, right, if you realize, in other words, that you have sinned and done things wrong, if you realize that you can't fix it, no matter how hard you try, right, and you're just desperate for somebody to save you, all you have to do is cry out to him. And I want to give you an opportunity for that. Would you bow your heads with me? This morning, you need to be in Christ. You need to be wrapped in Christ if you want to have any hope of spending eternity with him. That's you. If this morning, maybe for the first time, you want to put your faith and trust in him and in him alone and what he did, would you just look up at me as an indicator of that and make eye contact with me? I see you. Anybody else, stay looking at me. too. This is your acknowledgement. This is you saying, I am putting my faith completely in him and what he did. I see you. I see you. I just want to know who to pray for. I see. You can raise your heads. Thank you. 1 John 1:9, can I read this to you? If we confess our sins, yeah, yep. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Stand with me. If you've made that determination for the first time, welcome to the family of God. You have been given a name, child of God, that no one can take away, that nothing can take away. A name bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we acknowledge that we have sinned against each other, more importantly, sinned against you. We are not good people. Lord, we confess that to you today. We ask you that you would just forgive us, forgive all of our sins. Father, we place all of our trust, all of our faith, all of our dependence in what you did on the cross. Lord, in how you raised your son from the dead, we give you all honor and praise and glory. We trust you, Lord. We thank you for this gift. Father, help us to live a life in response to that. Help us to never doubt it. Help us never to live to listen to the enemy, Lord. Father, we just ask this in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.